going about my day, sometimes I function the best if I go out and work something and just seek the Lord that way. And I felt directed back to November. I was at the Ephrata Bible School, and there's a message there that I shared that I felt directed to. And I'll need to just trust the Lord in how to share this morning. I thought of going and redoing it because there's a different group of people here than what we have at Bible school, and yet I felt that I shouldn't do that, and it'll just be, we'll see how it comes forward here this morning. But then all we've heard about is Bible school almost this morning. It's like, amen. Praise God. I would like to just write the title here on the board. Picking up the torch. Now we could go some places with that this morning. So, Lord, would you direct this? I'd like to just kneel and pray. Dear God, we are so grateful that we can be your children, that we can call upon you in Jesus' name. We come to you this morning, dear Father, in Jesus' name. And we're asking you to take your word and apply it to our hearts here as we open this morning. Thank you for how you've directed this service today. Lord, you know each one of our hearts here as we kneel before you this morning. So we're asking, dear God, would you just take what you've put on my heart and tailor it for each one of us. Lord, I put my heart before you, and I pray you fill my mouth. Guide me this morning. I'm not sure how to share everything, but Lord, you have a perfect plan. We're asking for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come down and just divinely direct the rest of this service. We give it to you, trust you with it, and lay our hearts before you and open them up. Father, speak to us. Be a shepherd to us. Guide our lives. Lead us, Lord. Give us a vision, dear God. Pray you put purpose within our souls as we walk our Christian lives. We can serve you with a fervency and an earnestness. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Picking up the torch. As I was preparing for this, my mind went to the torch that is lit for the Olympic Games. And I didn't know a whole lot about it. I just knew there's something goes on with this. So I did some research on it. And there may be someone that knows more about it here this morning than I do. But the travel of the Olympic torch, I looked it up in Wikipedia, and I have a paragraph here. The torch briefly travels around Greece via short relay and then starts its transfer to the host city after a ceremony in the Panathenaic Stadium in Athens. The Olympic torch relay ends on the day of the opening ceremony in the central stadium of the games, wherever that's at. They always go and start in the original stadium where the games were in Athens, and I don't know the history of that, but way back, the Olympic Games started in Athens in Greece. So that's where it starts from. And then there's a host city, And it always varies. I don't know how they figure all that out. And they have all these different things. That's not what my heart is. But there's a torch that gets lit in Athens. And it travels to wherever the host city is. And it's there at the game burning the whole time. And they go through ceremonies and different things, make a big ado about it. The torch is lit with the original fire, and I don't know, do they keep it burning all the time in Greece? I don't know that. But it gets lit in Greece, and it is kept burning the whole time as it transfers and through the games. But as it goes from Athens to wherever the host city is, there are many people that will carry the torch throughout the course. One of them was like 357 kilometers, and I might not be perfectly right. It was over in the Europe area where they moved that torch from Athens to where the host city was. And there were 357 torch bearers. Each one of them was responsible to go 1 kilometer with the torch. So that's where your relay comes in. You pick it up, you carry it, and you pass it on. The next one picks it up, carries it, and passes it on. Passing it from one to another. Each one needs to fill in their time, cover their distance, taking care of this torch and this flame in order for it to arrive at the destiny. And it needs to still be lit, and everything needs to be sound. So, picking up the torch. Each one needed to pick up that torch and carry it with care and carefulness. Now, when you look up the term carry the torch, which is another title I could have used this morning, carrying the torch or carry the torch. I looked this up on a couple dictionaries online, and here's one of the definitions. If you carry the torch for something such as a political party or a particular belief, you support it very strongly and try to persuade other people to support it too. The Collins English Dictionary had a definition to carry the torch. If you say that someone is carrying the torch of a particular belief or movement, you mean they are working hard to ensure that it is not forgotten and continues to grow stronger. So now I wanted to use the illustration of that Olympic torch, but I'd like to move on to what the definition is, what it means to carry the torch. And it was interesting to me that these dictionaries brought it something down to something we believe, a religious belief. It could be political, but it's something we are putting our whole heart into. We're putting our whole focus into. We go back to the Olympic torch, those 357 people that each took 1 kilometer. Just imagine the preparation and the care that every individual one of them took to make sure that the part they're filling is well taken care of. If there's going to be a problem in this journey, it's not going to be in my section. I am taking care of this torch. I am fussing over this torch. I am there ready. Probably I am there walking my kilometer over and over, knowing where it's at so that I'm well prepared when my turn comes. Maybe there's even a fake torch to handle and carry so we know what we're doing. If there's instructions, I'm listening, I'm reading, I'm focused in. I'm going to take care of picking up that torch, carrying that torch, and passing it on. So what about the gospel torch or the Bible torch? Are we carrying the torch of what we believe? Are we carrying the torch? Maybe a little bit more personal. Am I carrying the torch? Am I carrying the torch? Does it matter to me how I carry it? Does it matter how I pick it up? How am I going to pass it on? Picking up the torch. Is the light still burning? Is the original fire of the Spirit of God burning in my torch that I'm carrying? Is that fire burning in our hearts as we carry this torch? And as I look at our young people within our circle of churches, there's a burden that has been burning in my heart on this subject. You know, the charity movement started back in the 80s. And I remember being there. Remember revival meetings. Having a vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus, a fulfilling relationship with the Lord Jesus. I remember burdens about evangelism. I remember how the Spirit of God came and moved in our midst. I remember the push of the Godly Home series, the push for holiness. And yes, I remember modesty subjects. And I remember things like, why do I have to being gone? Because we love the Lord Jesus with all of our hearts. We were carrying the torch. And as I look at the next generation, there's a burden. Are we passing on the torch? Is the next generation picking up the torch? Are we focused on taking care of the torch of the gospel, the torch of the Word of God, the torch of a fire to keep walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? And I have several different points that I'd like to look at this morning. The first one being blessed with a godly heritage, being blessed with a godly heritage. Starting in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Notice it does not say his mercy is all on all them that proclaim his name. His mercy is upon all those that profess to be Christians. It doesn't say that. It says his mercy is on all them that fear him. And the fear of God causes us to live a holy life.
Then he goes on, he says his mercy is going to be upon them from generation to generation. There's the relay. One picks it up and carries it through their generation, and they pass it on to the next generation, which picks it up and carries it through their generation to pass it on to the next generation. Being blessed with a godly heritage. Pick up the torch, carry the torch, and pass on the torch. Joel chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or even the days of your fathers? He says, tell it your children. Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Passing on the torch, it's essential to pass it on. It matters how we carry it. It matters that we carry it. It matters if it's going to keep on going. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 8, very familiar. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And here's what the tears and the joy are about. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. It's passing from one generation to the next. And as the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, this is a treasure. This is a beautiful thing, and it's an important thing. Pick up the torch, carry the torch, and pass it on. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the laying, putting on of my hands. He's urging Timothy, stir up that gift, carry that torch, and then go pass it on. Your grandmother passed it to your mom passed it to you. Timothy, pick up the torch, carry it, and pass it on. Pass it on. A godly heritage is a blessing. 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing that thou hast learned them, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. A godly heritage is a blessing. And I believe that's what we have here today, a godly heritage. It's a blessing, but it's God's will that a godly heritage, we pick up the torch, we carry the torch, and we faithfully pass it on to the next generation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Thou therefore, my son, be strong, and this is to Timothy again, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul, speaking to Timothy, he's calling him a son in this one. Thou, Timothy, you're my son. So you have from Paul to Timothy that they're passing the torch. And he's telling him, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. He's telling the same he should commit to other people, to other faithful men, that those men can commit them to others also. And he's talking about passing on the torch. Amen. Passing on the torch. Believe it sincerely, being fully committed to it. I'm given for the cause. You know, we know how into it they get at the game. We know politically how into it they get. Well, if we're going to pick up the torch and carry the torch of the Lord Jesus Christ, the torch of the Word of God, we need to get into it. It's giving it all I've got. It's putting myself into, not for me, but for Him. picking up the torch. Picking up the torch, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're a chosen generation. We're to be the royal priesthood. We're to be the holy nation, a peculiar people, and we should be showing forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. If we've been changed, we've been transformed, then we have a cause. We have a cause. We have a cause. A godly heritage is a blessing, but let's pick up that torch and carry it. Point number two. So we've looked at a godly heritage, but I'd like to spend some time this morning looking at being born into the church. And herein lies some of our challenges. Being born into the church. Well, there's a sense that that's a doctrine we do not believe in. But I like to encourage us, let us set that persuasion, I don't believe in that, aside. And how about we get honest about picking up the torch, carrying the torch, and just look at a few things that may even be a challenge for us in this area. The Catholic Church was the state church under Constantine. And I'm not a great person on history, but I know that the church and the state were joined together, and it became one. So, if the church and the state were joined, then everyone born in the state is also born into the church. Now, our children, when they're born, they're citizens, right? They're citizens. So now if you make the church and the state one, then everybody literally in this situation with Constantine that was born in the state was born into the church. Today, I don't think that it wouldn't be that way with the Catholic Church, and yet they're still treating it the same. So now, everyone born in the state is born to the church. So naturally, you baptize infants and they become christened because they're in the church. But how are they going to carry the torch? What about being baptized into a religious group? And it matters or doesn't matter whether you're born again or not. Being born into the church. The phrase, bloom where you're planted. An example of this that we relate to here, if you're born Amish, then you have to stay Amish. Okay? That's not just all wrong. But it gets you into some problems with what we've experienced. Now let's go a step further. So when born-again believers have children, are they born into the kingdom of God? We know the answer, but I'm asking, are they born into the kingdom of God? And allow me to go on. Because our theology and our reality don't always match. Theology-wise, we know no. We'll get 100% vote of that today. We're talking about picking up the torch today with all of our hearts, with everything we've got. Carry that torch and pass it on. We know the verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. John 3, verse 5 and 7 says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Yep. That which is born of flesh is flesh. So our children, when they're born in the flesh, that's flesh. But when they're born of the Spirit, that's spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born again. We need clear conversions, clear transformations. But I'm going to begin surfacing something here. The Bible also says that he that is forgiven little, Jesus taught this himself, loves little. He that is forgiven much, loves much. Now let's bring point one back up and begin thinking about it. The blessing of a godly heritage. And I believe we face the challenge that we guide our children, we direct them, and I support this, we guide them and keep them sheltered and they don't get into all of the junk and trash and evil. But we have the danger. We have the danger that now our children aren't such rotten sinners as the one that is a rebel. Just a rebel. On their face, begging God for mercy. And we are faced with the challenge, he that is forgiven little loves little. And if we allow the next generation to love little, we're not going to pick up the torch. We're not going to carry the torch. And we're not going to pass it on. There's the burden. There's the burden. And if we look out across what's happening in our circles, we're faced with this challenge. We are faced with this challenge. And it's not the other church over there. It's us right here. We are faced with this challenge. I'd like to reminisce over history a little bit. And here I'm considering not just our particular churches or, could you say, movement. But revival comes to a generation. We've seen this repeated in history, where revival comes to a generation. And we've had, in the history of Holmes County and Wayne County, several different revival movements where literally churches were born out of those movements and where God came. One of them that's very familiar is the Bronx revivals. They went on for 6 weeks, I think, in Wayne County. Other places, they did the same kind of thing. Many people got born again. There's still grandpas and grandmas alive, I think, that got born again in the Bronx revivals. And some of them were never the same again. But churches were born out of those revivals. The fire of God was burning. The charity movement would also be a revival. Everyone is on fire for God. Everyone's in love with Jesus. Everyone has a burden for lost souls. And we're walking with the Lord. Sins are confessed. Hearts are cleansed. Consciences are cleared. Things change. The whole community is affected. Over time, the first generation sometimes gets lukewarm. I believe that's happened. Not always. There's a mix there.
There's a mix there. Go to the second generation. Past revival is talked about by the older people. The second generation, they're Christians. But they lose the zeal of serving and loving God. Were they born into the church? See how sober this gets? In theology, bold letter no. But in reality, what are we doing? Were they born into the church? We've seen this repeatedly right here in our community. And I have a burden that this is happening to us. They didn't have the cost of stepping out and bearing the cross. Is the church now accepted in the community? Things like, we don't want to be different from the other churches come up. You know, let's blend together. And there's a part of that that I even support. But not for compromise, for relationship with the Lord. Not for compromise, for a holy walk. Not for a compromise to obey the word of God. Amen. But the second generation, that's what tends to happen. Picking up the torch. Struggles. Third generation, here revival is gone. We've joined history and run another cycle. Not much is left of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. By this time, the church is well fitted into the community again. And just to bring a case in point, churches, Mennonite churches in our community, like Berlin Mennonite, Martinsburg, Walnut Creek, Kidron Mennonite, those were the Bronx Revival churches. That's sobering. That's sobering. Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. And yes, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So now, who carries the torch in our lives? Who carries the torch in our lives? So to young people, it could be our parents. Hopefully it is our parents. Our church leaders. Or spiritual father or mother, depending what your circumstances are. But then the question, and this is maybe more catered to young people, and I'm not sure how to fit some of this. We'll just have to make it fit as it does, I guess, each one of us. What have your parents come out of? Some of us may not even know what our parents came out of and stood for. Some of us are the parents that came out and have stood. What have they come out of? Did they pay a price? Did they pay the price of opposition? The price of rejection? Maybe even excommunication? Lots of gossip? Just talking with someone yesterday, and whether this young man's family and parents will be willing to, you know, join hearts with us. And we haven't gone far, but the fact that that church rebaptizes came up already. Well, that's a cross that I'm willing to bear. That's a price to pay. Opposition, rejection, excommunication, gossip, and on you can go, and what your situation may be, but there's a price to pay. Why did they step out? Maybe it's a living hope or lively hope. Maybe it's a new birth. Maybe they felt convicted to obey and follow the Bible, the New Testament. That relates to people coming out of worldly settings where all of a sudden they are weird. They are over the brink. There's a price to pay. Are we willing to pick up the torch, carry that torch, and further the cause with everything we have? Were they concerned maybe where the next generation would end up, their children? Are they wanting to pass on the torch? And I was challenging the young people to step forward, make a decision, and pick it up. Do it on purpose. Do it with a purpose. Because if we don't, we won't. If we don't do it on purpose and with a purpose, we will walk by it, and we won't pick it up. 2 Timothy 2, 3, 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Very clear instructions for us. If we're struggling with the reality of being born into a Christian family, therefore being born into the church, but we haven't truly gotten born in, we haven't taken up the cause, we can end up with a form of godliness and no power. No power. Thus the concern. Thus we need to sound the trumpet, sound the alarm. When there's no power in our Christianity, then we will not effectively carry the torch. We won't pass it on. If we do, it's a form. It's a form. A dead form. You know, as I think back, I remember personally revival meetings, weekend meetings, leadership seminars, and youth Bible schools where there were spiritual awakenings. I enjoyed that report this morning. That was not the exception. It was the rule. Conviction of sin coming down upon our hearts. Confession of sin. Pet sins were confessed. Pet sins. Closet sins were revealed. Sometimes I wonder if we've changed our preaching some. It was talked about those closets, those rooms that we have privately just for ourselves. We don't take anybody in there. There's skeletons in there. All of them getting opened up. Getting opened up. And so when we open it all up and we give our whole heart, we get the power of the Spirit of God in our lives and we can carry the torch. We can pick it up. We can carry it. We can pass it on. In fact, when we do that, we do pick it up. We do pick it up because I'm giving my heart to it. I'm giving my all to it. But oh, we need the power of God. We need the power of the Spirit of God in our lives that goes through and cleans all of those places out. And watch out for the theories about the gifts of the Spirit. Let's go after the fruits of the Spirit. Let's go after the fruits of the Spirit and allow that to purge us and cleanse us and make us holy, and we will see things that most of Christianity doesn't see. It'll be the power of God. We just had a testimony from Haiti. There's a missionary family that is asking to be connected with us for an accountability. Nelson Schrock's family. He just gave us a testimony that happened in Haiti where this man was not converted. His wife is coming to church, and he's not. But he's been coming to church some, and he's been struggling, and he's starting to open up. And finally, I think it was last Sunday, he opened up his heart, asked for prayer, and the pastor there spent time with him and his wife. And here he was actually operating as a witch doctor, but he had to have his little witch doctor hut off somewhere else because he could not communicate with his spirit at home because his wife was a Christian. And mind you, she cannot be a fake Christian and have that kind of result. She has to be real. The power of God has to be real in her life. He could not operate at home because she was a Christian. And it sounded like she didn't even know what all he was into. She could not operate, or he could not operate there. They went and got his stuff, his witchcraft stuff, took it in the middle of the town and had a public bonfire there. But what I wanted to point out is that wife had the power of the Spirit of God upon her in a very difficult situation. We need that. We need that to pick up the torch and carry it. There was restitution. People were going back and making wrongs right. There was asking for forgiveness. There was restoring of wrongs. Like the example we heard this morning, I've wronged somebody. I go back and tell them, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? And it's all a part of getting right with God. It's so easy to gloss it over and make some kind of excuse. But when we do that, we lose. We lose. And it affects us how we pick up the torch and carry it. Maybe whether we do. Hearts were cleared. Relationships restored. In the end, we ended up with a single eye, with an affection and love for the Lord Jesus Christ that flowed freely. Heaven was open in prayer. The Bible was alive and meaningful. The fire of the Holy Ghost burned in the hearts. That's what we need. Out of our lives flowed a testimony that drew others to the Lord Jesus. We're picking up the torch. We're carrying the torch. We're committed to the cause. We have a belief that we're committed to, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in the Word of God. A sincere commitment. I want to glorify Him. I want to magnify Him. I don't want to do things in my life that make it look questionable where my heart is. Picking up the torch. So where do we find ourselves spiritually today? Where do we find ourselves spiritually today? Number three is choosing to pick up the torch. And I had put it here at Bible school, picking up the torch. This is on Monday morning. I had the first session. Blessed place to be for something like this. Point number three was all about picking up the torch. And as Lord help us today for me to know how to even say this. Another Bible school, we need youth to step forward, make a decision, and pick up that torch. But for us here today, it's important for us to make that decision. I'm going to pick up the torch. I'm going to give myself to it. Just heard a testimony of a young man that had a meeting with somebody else. It wasn't me. But in the end of the conversation, he was saying, I'm putting myself in. I'm putting myself in. I've been on the line. It's time to get off the line. That's what I'm talking about.
It's time to get off the line. We don't pick up the torch. We don't carry the torch riding the fence. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. The dictionaries would disagree with that. Liberal dictionaries. When we pick up the torch, we embrace the cause. We give it everything we can to see this go forward, to grow, to get stronger. I'm getting in. I'm getting in. Youth with a deep desire for a clear relationship with the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about a desire that burns and consumes, like the Lord Jesus said, that the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Can we identify with that? A zeal that is consumed with, I want my relationship right with my Maker, with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be clear in every way in my walk. Youth with a hunger to learn and understand the Bible, the Word of God. Youth with a hunger and a thirst. It says we're going to be filled if we have that, but with a passion. I want to learn to know the Word of God. I want to equip my heart and life with His doctrine, with His Word, with His direction. Choosing to pick up the torch. Youth that are committing themselves to fervently praying and seeking the Lord. Make it a daily habit and walk. And if I could just say, young people, there's no better time than when you're young. You'll never have another opportunity like the one you've got right now. You will never have another opportunity like the one you have right now. A godly heritage is a blessing, but oh, don't be born into the church. Don't allow it. Don't settle for it. But say, I'm getting all in. I'm going to pick up the torch, and I'm going to give it everything I've got when I'm young. I guarantee you, you will not regret it. You will not regret it. Guaranteed. Oh, you might be called a goody. You might be looked at one of those that doesn't have any fun, but oh, you have something way better. There's nothing better than going and just having a sweet talk with my Lord Jesus. You know, as I look back at my youth, I have some of the sweetest memories back there. They help me today. I don't have near the time available. And what's expected is way up from what it was being a young person. And sometimes you say, this is not the way it works. But oh, thank God for a foundation. Thank God for all that time. Going out behind the barn, looking into the sky, and just talking to the Lord Jesus. Young people, go get it. It's all available. Take that torch up. I'm going after it. Leave the nonsense. Leave all that stuff. There's way better things to be had. Way better things to be had. Youth that have a burden for their own needs. You know, it is easy. It is easy to have burdens about other people's needs. But what about mine? What about mine? Pick up the torch. Young people, pick up the torch about the needs in your own heart and life. Youth that choose to lay aside their friends, choose to lay aside their phones, choose to lay aside maybe books, the internet, or those funny little videos that your friends send you. Choose, put it aside. Put it aside. There's something better. There's a cause. I can pick up the torch and I can have the true riches. I can have the true riches. Pick it up. Don't allow yourself to just be born into the church. Don't allow that. Make a personal decision. I'm not going to just be born into the church. I'm getting in with everything with all of my heart. I'm going to be born by the Spirit of God. I need the power of the Spirit of God in my life so that I don't end up being a powerless form. Anybody can do that. Be a powerless form. God has something else available for us. He wants us to have His power burning within our hearts and within our souls. Picking up the torch. Let's pick up the torch. Let's carry that torch so we can pass it on. Pick up the torch at home in your family. Pick up the torch there at home in your family. It'll be a blessing. Pick up the torch in your church at home. Pick up the torch. You don't have to be old to be a contributor. You come in here, you love the Lord, you're rejoicing, you're praying for someone, you're a blessing to them. You have no idea how that'll minister to the body here. Pick up the torch. Joshua 24:15. This is very familiar and yet very, very applicable. And if it's evil unto you to serve the Lord, he says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You know, that's what it really comes down to. We choose who we're going to serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But then Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make that decision. And don't allow it to be that lukewarm decision where you're just born into the church. Don't allow that. God is way more available than that. In conclusion, Colossians 3, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above. We can't have the power of God and carry the torch effectively with our affections on earthly things. It doesn't work. We just set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I think it's important for us to ask the question, are we repeating history? We've seen it. Others have gone this way before. Are we repeating history? Are we becoming sterile Christians? Sterile Christians would be wood, hay, and stubble that burns up and is gone, and we don't reproduce. When we pick up the torch and we carry the torch, we're fruitful Christians, not sterile Christians. We need a new birth. We need lordship salvation. We need to take up the cross and be separated unto God. So now the question in the end, who's my torch bearer? Who's the bearer of the torch before me? And do I have the love for God that the torch bearer before me had? Or is my love a step down? If my love is a step down, then we're repeating history. Even if it's slower, if my love is a step down, then we're repeating history. Let's pick up the torch. Carry the torch faithfully so that we can pass on the torch and affect other people being fruitful Christians that are committed for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. God bless you.